You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wallawe!
The Gulo Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's a swear word.
Alright guys, yo. Welcome back to Wallawe with Otto and JC. And with me in BFM's Studio One is the amazing... Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello.
Oh, that's horrible.
My name is Alex.
Yeah. And so we have Alex of Wrought Materials, a talented artist, designer, musician,
promoter,
man of many pursuits.
A few things.
Yeah. You also used to run a show here, or like help run a show here at BFM a while back.
Can you confirm or deny that?
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Before you guys were.
Yeah, while we were still sperms.
You don't seem that old.
Yeah, I'm not that old. But
it's the essence of it. Old.
It's the Asian genes, you know. Asian don't raisin.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's so true.
But yeah, that show was like 13 years ago or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not even that old.
But that's like a long time.
Yeah. Like. 2012, damn.
Yeah, Nocturne.
When the world was supposed to end.
It didn't. The show ended, but the world did not. Here we are, still in.
We're on our way to that now. The world ending, but
we'll get there.
Yeah. So I gave you an introduction, but would you like to introduce yourself and tell us about what you do in your own words?
I run a label, I guess.
A brand?
It's all-encompassing, brand, name for my art. I'm an artist, visual artist, illustrator, graphic designer. I play in two bands, Distant Fear and Vigil. And what else do I do? Tour managing, booking shows, art shows, exhibitions, I release scenes, I release tapes, vinyl. That might be about it.
So
yeah.
I actually have a question because who's quite mainstream, if you had to describe Wrought Materials in three words, what would they be?
Three words.
Just three words.
Wrought.
Underground.
Yeah.
Audio visual.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. That makes sense.
So you're kind of like a Galileo of like punk in a way. So which of those pursuits came first? Was it the visual design? Was it music? Was it gig promotion? How did you get into the world of
Wrought Materials?
I think like the visual, doing art preceded everything, right? Like everyone draws when they're children. Mm-hmm. But like when music came into the picture when I was like 11 or something, like underground music, the purpose for drawing met that, you know?
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Like, so the passion for drawing also came along the time that you discovered your passion for music as well, maybe?
Well, the direction for the art,
oh, right,
became the music.
Right,
and,
right.
Whereas before that, I wanted to be like a comic book artist or something.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell us about some of the bands that you've done artwork and merchandise as well for, I believe?
I guess we could stay on topic of, you know, Southeast Asian bands. We can talk about my good friends Doldre from Singapore. Recently... Well, last year did their latest record. It's a pretty extensive package. Same time, it was our work for their tour, in which I accompanied them on the tour as well. So it was like this massive undertaking.
Yeah, you helped them get to Japan, I believe.
I'm just like their merch guy.
All right.
So I'm just hanging out, you know.
Yeah.
Getting up to all kinds of situations, you know?
All right, yeah.
But mainly, it was very, very hectic tour throughout Southeast Asia all the way to Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And just going into a bit of your... Oh, also, did you have you done artwork for Cruelty as well?
I've done... So, the first time Cruelty came here, three of my friends' bands were playing the show, but the poster for the show was, like, absolute dog shit. So, I made a bootleg one, essentially.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is... Everyone was like, oh, this is way better.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, the band came to my studio. We hung out for a bit, met them. Fast forward a year... They're coming back to New Zealand. They were coming back to New Zealand. I ended up co-promoting the tour for them and tour managing the whole thing.
You just took over the whole operation.
Well, the other...
It was just supposed to be like, okay, you're just going to help like revamp the poster, but then you...
Well, the other... There was another promoter, Ben, Valhalla Touring. Shout out to him. But the second time the Cruelty came, he couldn't do the entire tour.
And so you basically just carried pretty much, right?
Yeah, so I was like, I can do it. And then, yeah, Ben helped with the Wellington show and other legal things, you know, visas.
The legal things?
But yeah, teamwork, you know?
Right. So you are half Singaporean, but you grew up here in Aotearoa and in Tamaki Makaurau and pretty much spent like your whole life here.
Yes.
So how did... Oh, sorry. How did you get in contact with the guys in Daldry and the underground scene over in Southeast Asia?
So, as I was telling you off air, I hadn't been back, to Singapore for like 10 years in my 20s. Then I was like 28, I was going back. I was like, oh, what wonder, you know, I've never been to a show in Singapore. So I was searching online and I found... I think I was already aware of like Sial and some related bands.
So this is like before you had like actually gone back?
This is before I'd actually gone back. But then I found an email for a few friends. They used to run, I think it was Black Hole. Was it a venue? Yeah. And I just found this blog and I just found some emails and I was like, I just sent them an email.
Right.
You coming back to Singapore. Is there anything happening? Want to go
so
get
you basically
a drink,
just went
hang
straightforward
out.
For yeah. it, right?
Well, I think like I do this anywhere I go because with underground music and art, you can just, there's like an automatic connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're into this like underground weird shit. And you know, you know pretty quick when you actually do meet the people whether you gel or not. And you can like call it and be like, I'm out or like we're mates, you know? Mm. But so I did that with Huffies from CL and his partner Vanessa. They both play in Prospects as well, Legends. And yeah, just met up. I don't really remember what happened. I think we just got really drunk. Standard
nice
Singapore activities.
Oh, no. Anchor Strongs.
Yeah, Angus Strong.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that?
It's like an 8% beer that you can get for like $5 at a gas station.
Tastes like shit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it sounds like shit because it's beer.
You just have to be there, you know. You have to, you know, have the experience of going to an underground gig and drinking like
sounds like
three
privilege right there.
Privilege? Wow. Nah, man, that's the working man's beer. That ain't privilege. That's the opposite of privilege. That's a struggle drink.
Damn.
But going off what you just said, you know, I did kind of, you know, have that same experience, you know, like entering the scene in Singapore myself. I feel like people are pretty receptive to newcomers there, you know. Like when you show an interest in extreme music or underground music, you know, the community is, you know, they come to, you know, welcome you and like, you know, show you the ropes.
Yeah, I think it's a small place, you know, like you're gonna meet everyone at some point. Why not bring you in, you know? Yeah. And plus, like, bands travel through there a lot. Like, yeah. I mean, everyone just travels through there a lot because it's, like, in the center of the world. So, you know, why not make these connections? Like,
yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah. And just going off the topic of music, you know, you mentioned you're a musician yourself and you're involved in a couple of bands and projects mm-hmm. at the moment. Would you like to tell us about that?
So I play in two bands. One's called Distant Fear, which is like a death metal band, I guess. And the other is a punk band called Vigil. We're playing some shows, actually.
All right.
This is a good, that's a good segue.
Tell us about all the shows you've got coming up as well.
So Vigil is, we are opening for a Japanese artist called Death Row. He is billed
coming next weekend, right?
27th of February.
Oh, okay.
2 weekends away.
Just about. And he's billed as Kanagawa, Japan's number one rock vocalist. Incredible. He's like the best performer I've ever seen live. I saw him in 2020, right before lockdown, in this city called Yokkaichi in Japan.
All right.
Blew my mind.
Damn.
And he's coming here. He's doing like 8 dates. Should have pulled these up before. 8 dates across the entire...
Is he doing like a...
country.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, starting in...
here in Tamaki.
Tamaki first, and then Kirikiriroa on the 28th at Mesoverse, followed by Whanganui, Porridge Watson on the 1st of March, playing at Newtown Festival in Poneke.
Wellington.
On the 2nd, the Sunday. And there's a little bit of a gap. And then he's doing... Otapoti at Yours on the 7th, Littleton on the 8th, and Takaka on the 9th.
And are you managing the entire tour or just his Tamaki show?
So this tour is like sort of co-promoted by myself and Chain Punk Baddie, which is Rue from Unsanitary Napkin.
Mm-hmm.
And other acts.
Love that name.
That's Chain Punk Baddie.
Yeah.
No, Unsanitary Napkin.
Oh, sorry.
Both names. Great. Yeah,
actually. They're sick.
Great names. So Unsanitary, like, it's kind of their, it's their tour. They're acting as Death Row's backing band.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because when they toured Japan year before last, I think, and forged a pretty good bond with Death Row. To the point that he's coming here, of all places, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Not a whole lot of people to her.
Yeah, because Japan to New Zealand is a pretty big stretch, right? You know, like most Japanese bands, I think, you know, they do a stop off in Australia, of course, but...
Yeah, no Australia this time, which I'm, you know, kind of gloating at, because it's... usually it's
You gotta be proud of New Zealand, you know, right?
Well, you know, usually like Australia gets all the bands.
Yeah,
but and like, we get some. But this time, no Australia.
Yeah.
For various reasons. But yeah, it's cool. So, like, yes, everyone should come to see Death Row. He's incredible. He's a very charismatic figure that will... He draws the entire crowd in.
I want to see the reason why he's named as the number one rock vocalist.
Yeah.
From another vocalist in another genre itself.
Yeah. Thursday, 27th February, there are like fuck all tickets left, so
we should probably get those.
Yeah, we should probably.
If anyone's listening, you know,
yeah,
cop them now.
Right. Yeah.
Now, can you tell us about Raw Material and how that came about?
Sure. So 2017, I want to say. Yeah, 2017. This idea came to me. I just like knew a bunch of artists who were also in punk and metal bands and weren't really like part of the art world. So I'm like, why don't I just put all these people together, do a group show. I'm gonna release, I think I released like 4 or 5 zines and a book at the launch. And then yeah, we did it at Monster Valley, RIP, I guess, a long time ago. And then it became like an annual well, it was like an idea was to be an annual group show, and then like it's a label that released stuff periodically, which it still is. The group show, so it continued 2018. No, it started 2018, continued 2019. Obviously, 2020 was a write-off. And then did the third one in 2021. And then the year before last, I did a pop-up show at Shrub in Singapore. Shout out to Fern and all them.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't done any sort of shows like that since. I'm planning, you know?
Yeah. So you've done quite a few shows, like both here in Aotearoa, but then also in Singapore and across Asia as well?
Just the one in Singapore. And but I got some plans
for
I want to do some kind of tour of of shows,
Maybe we can have Daldry come to New Zealand at some point.
I've been trying. These guys got like they got a tight schedule,
of course,
so one day maybe we'll make it work, but
So just going off of that, you know, you've brought quite a few Asian artists over to New Zealand. You know, you've supported Singaporean bands on both like Australian tours and across Asia. Would you say that maybe trying to bridge the gap between Asian and Oceania extreme music audiences is something that you've tried to do, you know, throughout your time managing raw material?
I think it's becoming more of a something that's important to me personally. So I feel, you know, with like underground bands, we often don't get bands that are like regardless of location, we often don't get these bands that are really at their peak when it's happening. We get like kind of tired old legacy bands, you know?
Yeah.
And that's cool to see.
They've been around the scene for like
30, couple decades, 40 years. Like it's like, okay, I've seen some of my favorite really old bands, but I want to see the fire, you know, when it's at its hottest.
Yeah.
And so it's that combined with like what's going on in Asia now. Asia's just like just doing its own thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like everyone knows about Japan. Japan is insane, always has been, probably always will be. But like,
I mean, Indonesia has its own music ecosystem, basically.
Indonesia is crazy. Like, it doesn't need the rest of the world.
Yeah.
There are like metal bands in Indonesia that are bigger than metal bands in Europe.
And they just stay in Indonesia.
They could just go to Europe for fun. They don't even need to do that shit.
Yeah.
Because they sell so many things, like so much merch, so many albums in Indonesia alone. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that's a side point. But like, it's just some of the real, yeah, a lot of these bands are like my friends, but a lot of these bands are just like, there's a real fire there. There's a real drive that I feel a lot of Western bands don't have. You know, we could go on for hours about why, but it's just like
because
more
they have to fight harder to get that recognition internationally.
I think just the you could say generally life is not as easy there,
right?
So that's going to create more extreme things.
Yeah.
It's going to create more interesting things out of necessity to escape whatever situations.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone is.
And there's also like a lot of experience to draw upon in the creative process too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And going off of that, I'd like to ask, what have your experiences been, you know, working in the extreme music underground scene here as an Asian musician and creative?
I don't know if I'm like, I am part Chinese. So often I pass for white. But like, you guys know. Asians know, you know.
Yeah.
But like, other people don't. And, you know, like punk and metal and music and New Zealand is pretty white. So you can make of that what you will.
Yeah.
fill in the gaps.
I mean, you said you were white. Sometimes you pass off as white. Do you think that Pākehā consider you to be white or Asian in that regard? Or
no,
is
I
it
think
kind
they...
of a thing where, like, maybe, like, Pākehā consider you to be Asian, but then maybe, like, other Chinese people, like...
No, I don't think anyone considers me anything, for the most part.
Right.
Like, you know, go to Singapore, probably white, for the most part. Go to... I'm here, and then white people, like, probably a little bit confused. You get the, you know, what are you questions. And
has anyone, like, come up to you and actually said that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, heaps of times. I got, like, everything, you know? Like, are you Māori? Are you Mexican? Are you from Kazakhstan?
Kazakhstan.
That's my favorite one, yeah.
Actually, I can see that. Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Like, yeah. But would you say that, you know, those sort of, like, racial dynamics play out very much in the extreme music scene or, like, underground music scene? Or is that less of an issue in that scene than it might be in mainstream music circles?
Big question. I don't think there's just not a lot of like POC people in underground scenes, you know. Yeah, and like metal is like very racist,
right?
And so, yeah. Not you know not everyone, but like
for the most part,
you know, it's like I said, it's white, like
yeah. And would you like to see more people of color in extreme music here in Aotearoa?
Of course. But I wonder if it doesn't, like, it's so... People have, like, a view of what... Metal in particular. Punk is more, like, inclusive, theoretically. But I think people have, like, a view of what metal is, and it's, like... I don't think that appeals to most people.
Yeah.
But it can. And I think, like... I think there needs to be some kind of new way of looking at it.
Right.
That isn't, like... Oh, this is just a bunch of boneheads, you know, doing bonehead things. Because it's so much more, like, so much more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay, so moving forward, you talked about the Death Row show that's happening.
Yes.
Could you just refresh us on when people in Tamaki Makaurau can catch Death Row playing?
Yeah, that's February... which is this month, Thursday 27th, 6:05 Morningside. It's like $20.
Yeah.
It's like, as I said before, there's like no tickets left.
Yeah. So
we're almost running out.
Couple of tickets left. Yeah. So if anyone's listening right now, February 27th, 6:05 Morningside.
That's the one.
Catch Death Row.
Yeah.
And get your tickets fast because they are running out.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.